And now I give you back to God. When I see that video, when I hear those words, I think to myself, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. It doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way. That's not how life works. That's not how people work. That's not what would have happened. And if we think at all for one second that if we were in that situation and someone had robbed us and then shown back up and we give them more, if we think we would have done that, we need to stop lying to ourselves. We need to stop lying to ourselves. Now that's the challenge. Here comes the exciting part. God has given us something. We've robbed it of Him. We've taken it from Him. We've taken advantage of it. We've assumed that it would be there. We've assumed that it was for us. And we've robbed Him of this. And every time we're caught red-handed and we come back to Him, guess what He does? He gives us more. And it's His love. See, that's what we're about here at Highland Hills. This morning on this Friends Day, with our members and friends present, I want you to understand, first and foremost, Highland Hills is a congregation of God's people that is trying to love. And although I love this picture that speaks a thousand words, our love, like God's, cannot be like this. It can't be written in sand, where we're afraid that every wave that comes along, every circumstance that may or may not happen, will just erase that love. You see, that's what we do. We live in fear that so much of the love of God that we read about, so much of the love of God that we're supposed to see in His church, so much of the love of God that we hope is there, is just going to come and be washed away like something written in the sand. But it's not. See, God loves this world. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, a verse that we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, it says that God loves this world. And when He says He loves this world, He's not talking about the dirt. He's not talking about the rocks that it's made of. He's saying God loves people so much that He sent His Son, His one and only Son. He sent Himself. The theology packed in that is that God Himself showed up on the scene, flesh and blood, to live this life alongside of it. As Dick said, to live the story of love alongside each one of us. God's flesh showed up. He loved this world so much. He loved people that He came here so that anyone, who would trust Him, anyone who would rely on Him would be saved, who would live eternally with Him. And that changes people. See, love, real love, the love of God that transforms a man into someone who doesn't care about silver or gold, who doesn't care about being taken advantage of, who doesn't care about being taken for his generosity, a man who has been loved by God and can love someone else that much, that love changes people. You think in that scene that we just saw, you think that prisoner left, you think he left that encounter differently? You think he left that encounter shaken to his core? Did you hear that, Bishop? He said, you don't have to, you're not a slave to fear and to hate. You've been ransomed. You've been bought. Been bought by the love of God. The love of God that transforms someone. The love of God that broadens our horizons and creates a new appreciation for what is truly truly important. What is important is the eternal, not the temporary. And the only thing that you and I will ever come in contact with other than God Himself on this planet that is eternal are other people. That's it. Everything we work for, everything we save for, everything that we fret over and worry about, all of the things that we stockpile and hoard, all are temporary. People are what are eternal. And see, when you are loved, I mean really loved, not a wash away kind of love, but a real, steadfast, regardless of circumstances, no matter what your behavior is, no matter what choices you make, when you love like that, when you're really loved, you fear less. You suspect less. You're a different person. You are secure when you're truly loved. And it's only when you are loved that you can truly love another. It's only when you can say to yourself that God so loves me. You see, in the English translation of that Greek text, it's in the past tense. And it really is in the past tense in the original, but it's the past progressive that it happened, but it's continually happening on a timeline going forward. So the reality is that because God loved, because He loves and is continuing to love, that He changes the world. He changes people. He secures us. And He makes us different than we can be on our own. Only when you're loved, truly loved, can you love another. A concept that we've been taught since we were little. A concept that we have been told it's the right thing to do. But it's a concept that we think of in terms of what's it going to cost me? You see, so much of life we think, what's this going to cost me? Maybe to share is going to cost me something dear to me. Maybe to share is going to cost some comfort level. Maybe it's going to cost me something that I love. Well, whatever the concept of sharing does to you, first and foremost, it ought to teach us. It ought to teach us what's important. Is my ice cream important? I love this picture. For all kinds of reasons. I love the picture because it's a little boy sharing with a little girl. They're obviously of two ethnic diverse backgrounds. You can see this. Right here, that ice cream didn't just get there. This isn't the first time they've shared this ice cream. You know, he's got some on his lips, she's got some on hers, and they've been back and forth with this ice cream without a care in the world. Because sometimes sharing is going to cost me my ice cream. Sometimes sharing is going to get me involved with someone on maybe a deeper level than I care to be involved in. They don't care. Sharing, it's a deep, deep concept. It's more than just, you know, hey, I've got something that I don't need anymore, and, you know, if you want it, you can have it. Sharing is a teacher. Sharing is a lifestyle. Sharing is something that if it's hard for us to do, then we got to start back at the beginning and we've got to be loved. We've got to let God love us. We've got to realize that people haven't just taken advantage of me, but I've taken advantage of God. I have robbed from Him. I have stolen from Him. I have assumed too much from Him. I've taken advantage of Him. And you know what He does? He says, here's more. Here's more. You know what He wants to do? He wants to break us. He does. God is so desperately trying to break us down to the point where we realize, you love me. You really love me. You know, so often in foster care situations or adoption situations where people adopt children that have been mistreated or abused or neglected, there's an acting out period. There's a time when the children will take advantage of or just act out in such a way because they think that they're defined by how people have treated them all of their life, and they think that they're that they deserve that, and so they'll keep acting out until that parent, the foster parent or the new adoptive parents, will say, I just can't take it, and they'll give them back, and then they're proved right. You know what? I'm not worth it. But a good parent, a dedicated, sharing foster parent, a dedicated, sharing adoptive parent will take it, will be stolen from, will be taken advantage of, will be disrespected, will be all of those things, and they'll keep giving more because finally that child will realize it's not about the stuff, it's not about the things, it's not about anything, it's about you are loved uncontrollably, unconditionally. I love you, so you're redefined. You're redefined. And once we realize that God is trying to break us down, we're not defined by our sin. We're not defined by our weakness. We're not defined by all of those things. Then we are free to share, not only share in what God gives us, not only to share what God offers, but to share with everyone else, not just our stuff, not just our ice cream, but our time and our intellect and our experiences. We're not afraid because we're loved to share our story. And just say, these are the experiences that I've had. Because you never know when someone's struggling with the exact same thing you're struggling with. When someone's worried about the exact same thing you're worried about. When someone doesn't believe the exact same thing that you used to not believe. And you can help, you can just share. Share this life with each other. It starts with being loved. Really being loved. And then sharing. No matter what the cost, no matter how much, because God shared. See, God so loved each one of us that He gave. I love that word, that He gave. He didn't loan it. He didn't kind of put it out there with the opportunity to bring it back. God gave Himself. God shared because He loved. He shared. He shared Himself. He shared what He had. He shared forgiveness. Because isn't that what separates us ultimately? Is our lack of ability to do away with the one thing that separates us from God, and that is our brokenness, our sin. Our lack of dependence, our self-reliance, all of those things. That separates us. And God gave us something. He forgave the rebellion. He forgave the out lies. He forgave the taken advantage of. He forgave all of the things. He forgave the greed. He forgave the stiff-neckedness of humanity. God forgave. You see, sharing is about no hoarding in the kingdom. You see, what we have, it's either worth sharing or it's worth nothing. I mean, I want you to think about that. What we have, our stuff, our time, our intellect, our abilities, our experiences, everything that we have, it's either worthy of being shared or it is worthy of nothing. There's no other option. Sharing is the first step in recognizing community. See, Christ in the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on to say that Jesus came and He lived among us. You see, in the beginning, from the very beginning, in the first century and on to today, the body of Christ is all about, is for the express purpose of being shared. The body of Christ was always meant to be shared. We have a gift this morning that we're going to share together. We have this beautiful, mysterious gift we call communion. It was instituted the night before Jesus died. It goes all the way back to the Exodus. It goes all the way back to the pre-Christ Passover. It goes all the way back to the beginning of Jewish and Hebrew history. And it's a meal that is shared in honor of God's redemptive work. Jesus and His disciples, they were sharing this Passover meal. And Jesus said, this bread, this is My body that I give you. A broken body that I give you. He says, whenever you eat this, whenever you do this, remember Me. Remember how uncomfortable I was willing to be on your behalf. Remember how much of Myself I was willing to give for you. As often as you eat this, remember Me. We're going to share this communion. Howard's going to come up and he's going to say some prayers for us about this communion. We're going to eat this bread together. We're going to drink this cup together. Because Jesus shared His body. He shared His blood. And He shared something with us that this morning, I mean, what a crowd we have. What a great crowd that we have. And this crowd is here on purpose because this crowd was invited. But this morning, we are sharing in something that is across the world. Been watching the Olympics. Sorry to get you up here so quick. Just stand there, act natural. You watching the Olympics? Oh, these people are performing because the world is watching. The world is watching. Everybody's watching at the same time. You know, Usain Bolt breaking the world's record. Michael Phelps being the most decorated this or that. Or the 4x100 relay. My goodness, those ladies are fast. Unbelievable. You can't even see their legs. The whole world's watching. Right now, this morning, we get to share in something that is eternally more significant than the Olympics. In the entire body of Christ, the global body of believers is sharing this exact same thing. You're a part of something huge. This is a big crowd for our little church. But you're sharing in something bigger than this. You're sharing in something that is going on and will continue to go on last night and today and tonight. All those who are sharing the same meal, remembering our God. I've chosen the pictures that I've chosen this morning to speak along with the words that I've chosen to say. God served us. Not only did He love and share, but the sharing had a purpose. You see, one of the things that I believe with all of my heart is that we can tell people the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We can tell them, we can share with them the saving grace of God through the redemptive act of Jesus, but they can't hear us over their stomach growling, then we're not doing much good. See, service is kind of the pinnacle of this. See, service. God, the Bible says that God loved each one of us. He loved people, past, present, and future, so much so that he shared himself. He shared what he had. He shared his holiness. And that's what it comes down to. He shares his holiness with each one of us so that a physical and spiritual reality could be attained. So that anyone who was willing to trust, anyone who's willing to depend, anyone who's willing, well, that they would be saved, that they would have eternal life, that their physical problems would be taken care of, that their spiritual needs would be met. God loved the world so much that he gave, he shared, and he served so that the desired outcome would happen. What do you think of service? What comes to mind when you think of service? Do you think of, well, it depends on what it is. Well, it depends on, hey, you know, would you do this? Would you do that? Hey, you know what I love? I love it when I call somebody up and, you know, being the preacher, it's an interesting experience. If you've never been one, I encourage you to do so. It's an interesting thing when you call someone and you say, hey, can I ask you a favor? See how awkward that is? That's what it sounds like on the phone. It's awkward. Can't say no to the preacher. I mean, if I say no, I mean, I'm sure he's got some red phone under his desk that's like right to, you know, if it's not to God, at least Michael's on the other line or Gabriel or somebody. And if I say no, you know, then I got to skip church for 3 weeks because I can't be, you know, I can't be there to see. So there's that, you know, there's that, okay, will you do me a favor? Now, I always ask you like that, do me a favor, because I love people that say, yeah, sure. Whatever it is, dear God, please don't make it something terrible. Translation, that's what, they don't say that, but that's what that voice means. Hey, will you do me a favor? In their mind, well, I don't know. What is it? What is it? When is it? What is it going? See how these things are all rolled into one. If it doesn't start with love, then the sharing part, oh, it's going to cost me. Oh, I don't want to know. I don't want to be that involved. And then service is compromised because everything rolls into one. And then the service is like, really? Oh, man, feet? Feet? We're washing feet? I mean, rarely. We don't have a foot washing team because in our culture, we don't need that, but we have needs. There are needs. Serving, you know, serving is so that humanity can be changed. See, service is all about changing a circumstance that deserves to be changed. Serving is all about finding a situation, a circumstance, a condition, an existence, and changing it for no other reason but that it needs to be changed. And one of the things that I love about what Dick just said, in that, you know, and appropriate's got nothing to do with it. See, I love that.
Well, that's not really appropriate for us to be.
Appropriate. How do I say this lovingly? I could care less what people think is appropriate. I really could. Because there are needs. There are circumstances that deserve to be changed. And appropriate, whether it's a convenient, whether it's socially acceptable, whether it's commanded, whether I have to, has got nothing to do with it. And I am proud to say that the Highland Hills Church of Christ is a group of people that says there are circumstances that need changing, and I'm up for changing them. I don't care who knows it. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what I smell like at the end of it. I don't care. Because we're here to love what God loves, to share what we have. And to have the rubber meet the road, have the absolute come in contact part of life happen. You know, there's a commercial on right now that I absolutely love. And before we go to the next picture, I'm going to describe this this commercial. There are, and I would play it for you, but there's copyright things and, you know, technical. It's just, you know, the... It is an appropriate show because I didn't pay for it. That's one of the times. No, I'm just kidding. But there's this commercial, this Nike commercial for the Olympics. I love it. And it's just this road. It's just this road, and it's just grass on either side, a couple of old dingy banged up mailboxes, and it's just this hill. And all you hear is the shuffling of feet. Not fast. Not speedy. Labored. Shuffling. And then you hear this heavy breathing. And then you have this guy come on with this you know, quaint, soothing English accent. So some people would have you believe that greatness is not for everyone. That it's some kind of a special DNA strand. That greatness is reserved for the special chosen few. That greatness is not something that you can that you can attain. It's something you're either born with or not. Greatness is all about your physical gifts and this and that. And as he keeps talking about greatness and about how it's really for anyone, and it's not what they would have you believe. It's not about what you're born with or what your last name is or how much you have. Greatness is all about what you're willing to do. And this young man gets closer. Closer and closer to the screen. He's not a finely tuned athlete. He's not ever really going to be an Olympic champion from what we can tell. But he's great because he's willing to put one foot in front of the other on a lonely strip of road with nobody watching, nothing but the mailboxes and the weeds. He's willing to be great. Nobody cheering. Nobody telling him, you better get out there and run. Nobody telling him that you're doing a good job. Nobody telling him that you're doing it wrong. Nobody telling him anything. Just willing to do. Are you willing to be great? That's what service is all about. Now, I'm not talking about greatness in the eyes of this world. I'm talking about greatness in the eyes of God. Greatness. I mean, think about that. Are you willing not to do without? I mean, isn't that what we dwell on? Oh, but I got to do without. Oh, I got to inconvenience. Are you willing to be great? I'll end with this. In Acts, we read of a story of Stephen. Stephen is known as the first Christian martyr. Stephen was a man who accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Stephen was a guy who in the face of awful circumstances, in the face of people telling him not to, Stephen is a guy who stood up and he loved people enough to tell them what they didn't want to hear. And Stephen was a guy who shared what he knew, and he served humanity by letting them do what they did to him. See, Stephen told people about Jesus. They told him to quit. He told them that he couldn't. See, I hear it all the time. I hear, Shane, hey, can you do this? No, I can't. Hey, will you do that? I can't. Oh, you will? No, I can't. They said, Stephen, stop saying these things about Jesus. Stop telling us that he is the Lord and Savior. Stop telling us that we can be saved by no other name but his. Stop telling us that Jesus is the Son of God. And Stephen said, I can't. And so they stoned him. They threw rocks at him until he was dead. That's what that means. Before he died, he looked up into heaven. He said, I see the Son of Man. I see Jesus. I see Jesus, and he's right by God. He's standing at the right hand of God. We can read over that and not catch the weight, the gravity. You see, every other time in Scripture, when you got a picture of God and Jesus painted in Scripture with words, you've got God and Jesus is seated. He's seated at the right hand. But when we serve, when we empty ourselves and we serve, we bring the Son of God to His feet. Oh, He can't sit by and watch that. He's like a proud parent on the sideline when their kid is going to score a goal or catch a pass or do something, and you just can't stay seated, and you just find yourself without even making it happen, without planning it, without thinking about it. You see yourself just standing up, arms raised, and say, look at him go. Look at him go. Stephen brought our Lord to his feet. Are you willing to be great? Are you willing to be great? This morning, we have an opportunity to be great. Probably not by the standards of the world, but can we bring the hosts of heaven to their feet as together we love, as together we share, and as together we serve? We stand and sing with us.